This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to BOLLandBranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sheila Shoiga, and welcome to Ready to Be Real Conversations, the podcast series where I chat to people of all walks of life. Some names you'll recognise, others you might not, but my hope is that these conversations will at times inspire, challenge, educate, comfort, or simply entertain you. Finding the right health insurance package is important, but with a wide range of plans available on the Irish market, it can be a daunting task when you don't know where to start. That's why I've teamed up with HCC.ie, supported by Irish Life Health. Year on year, people auto-renew their health insurance policies without realising that there may be significant savings to be made, and this is where HCC comes in. HCC.ie compares multiple insurers to help you choose a health insurance plan that's right for you and your pocket. And to get a free health insurance review, simply go to HCC.ie. This week, I recorded a chat with best-selling author and moonologer, Yasmin Boland.
I think that this is women remembering that they can reconnect to their innate powers through the moon. And I'm convinced of that. I've got goosebumps as I say this. I've been doing it for 25 years. I still get goosebumps.
I've been drawn to the moon and all she symbolises for many years now. But instead of recording a solo episode, I thought it'd be far more informative to speak to an expert. A former journalist and TV producer, Yasmin is one of the most respected voices on the spiritual importance of the moon. In this conversation, she talks through the phases of the moon, its historical significance, new moon and full moon rituals, manifesting, and of course, the divine feminine. There was plenty that we didn't get into as Yasmin had a busy schedule and was tight on time, but I really hope it gives you a greater insight into the topic. So when did your interest with the lunar cycle begin?
The first time I'd been interested in astrology for a long time, I would say since being a teenager, but just to the extent of, you know, reading about it in magazines and maybe reading the odd book or watching, you know, TV shows that came up about it. The first time I really, really remember being interested in moonology, in the moon, would have been probably in the mid-90s when I was on, which it just feels like yesterday to me, but now I'm suddenly thinking, hang on, that was 25 years ago. This is when I really remember it. I was on a trip in Tasmania, Australia. So Tasmania is the island state in Australia. And it's an amazing place. And I grew up in Tasmania. And I'd been living in London by this stage for a couple of years, and I'd gone back to Australia for some time. And a girlfriend of mine from London, Nadine, said, okay, I'm coming to Australia. I really want to go to Tasmania and I really want to go with a Tasmanian. So can we go to Tasmania? Hmm. I said, sure, why not? That'd be fun. So we basically got there and rented a car and drove from Hobart, which is the capital of Tassie, up the east coast, which is beautiful. And what I remember, and I've actually still got the piece of paper, is I was reading a book at that period called Moon Signs by Donna Cunningham, who's sadly passed away since. But it was a kind of a seminal book in astrology. And so I was absolutely gripped by it. It makes me think I should go and reread it, actually. I had a really kind of cheap paperback version of it with tiny font and all this. It wasn't that much of a pleasure. I reckon they've redone it since then. Anyway, and I'd read this every day, and Nadine just thought this was hysterical because I was a, you know, coffee-drinking, cigarette-smoking journalist, TV producer, and here I was kind of every night. I was doing little drawings of the moon, talking about what sign the moon was in and just thinking about how that had actually compared to what we had experienced that day on our little road trip adventure. And that's kind of like the first time I really, really remember really getting into it and thinking, yeah, no, this is amazing. It really kind of lit something up in me, I think, that was already there. And then not that much later, I got a book called New Moon Astrology. Actually, it might have been a bit later, I don't know. But I got a book called New Moon Astrology by Jan Spiller, which talked about new moon wishing. And that, you know, that just lit me up as well. And in a way that nothing had lit me up since, you know, I was about six and I heard about journalism, because I've always loved writing. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to be a journalist and I can ask people questions and I can write about it. And it was like, oh my God, that's my dream job. And I hadn't really felt that. And I always feel that was me hearing my calling to write. Mm. And I hadn't really felt that since then. I mean, I loved being a journalist, but journalism was taking a kind of a turn for the worse at that point. Anyway, so it all just kind of went from there. And then I started researching about, I kind of heard somewhere along the line about how witches had traditionally made their wishes and spells on at the new moon. Mm. And I don't know if this is all too much information, but basically my family is half from Ireland, actually. My surname, as I'm sure you know, is Irish. My grandpa was Sidney William Michael Patrick Boland. I don't think you get much more Irish than that.
No, no, no.
but on the other side, I'm Maltese. And Maltese is very much the island of the goddess. And obviously, you know, there's a strong Celtic goddess tradition as well. And so I kind of had this goddess thing on both sides of my family. I didn't even know about it. But when I first started to connect with the moon and the new moon wishing and heard about these witches, which I don't really think I'm a witch. Well, I mean, I think I probably am a witch, but I don't kind of identify as a witch necessarily. But when I first heard about the whole witches thing, it really also it awakened something else in me, which was my connection to my femininity and to the goddesses and to the goddess energy that I didn't even know about. I kind of learned about it going, no wonder this is all resonating, because the moon is, you know, the goddess is said to be the incarnation of the moon, and, you know, or the moon is the goddess made real.
Yes.
It can work both ways. And so, you know, then I had this whole Irish / Maltese thing waking up in me. And then I went to India where they do all these full moon ceremonies, and that was all like mind blowing. So it was like a shift. And actually, just for the record, Sheila, I'll just tell you, because I only really worked it out last week. I had done a meditation course, which I think really opened me up around this time, just before all this happened. Yeah. And one of the things, I mean, I think meditation opened me up, and it definitely led me to being open to astrology. Like I said, I was a cigarette smoking, coffee drinking, you know, TV producer, like, you know what that means. It wasn't like a natural progression by any means. And when I did this meditation course, amongst other things, the teacher there said, every night before you go to sleep, ask to go to the halls of learning. And allegedly, you know, what happens, you go to the halls of learning and these sort of masters who watch over humanity will sort of basically put information in your brain or something, I don't know, transmit, you know, light codes that will help you to, I don't know, whatever, become a more... less of a TV producer and more of an astrologer in my case.
Yeah, yeah.
And I did that probably every night for 2 or 3 years. And I had completely forgotten about that until actually this weekend just gone, where I was talking to my friend Kyle Gray, who's really big into angels and all this kind of stuff. And he sent me a copy of his new book, which isn't out yet, comes out in April. And in it, he mentions the halls of learning and says, you know, you can go there in your sleep. And I was like, oh my God, I completely forgot I did that. And I did it for like two years at least. And I was thinking maybe that's what happened to me, because it was kind of inexplicable what happened to me. I just literally transformed from one person to another. My whole life changed.
Yeah.
And I came out, you know, I mean, and the whole thing with the moon and which is so, like, in astrology, the moon represents the goddess, it represents the divine feminine, represents women, it represents breasts and breastfeeding and motherhood, and it just, like, everything just fell into place. So there is a potted history of how I got into the moon, which I hope isn't too much information.
Not at all. I loved it. And you know what? There will be someone listening now who is maybe tapping into that and starting to awaken something like what you went through in the 90s. They could be perhaps there now, and that's what's drawn them to listen to this conversation. Yeah. You know what? There'll be people listening as well who already have an interest, which as you know, I've told you I do. I've had for years. I wouldn't have a fraction of the knowledge, expertise, wisdom that you have, but I'm certainly into it. And when you tapped into it there, I'd love to talk about the significance of the moon in terms of historically, what you know, how it was respected and how it's changed and where we're at with it today.
First thing I would say is I think the moon is back for a long time. And I think it's part of the divine feminine reemerging, which, you know, people have been talking about since around about the time that I started on this path, actually, probably a couple of years in. People started talking about this thing called harmonic concordance, which if you want to read about it, just look it up, harmonic concordance. Mm. And it was essentially quite a rare alignment of energies and stars, and it was a big thing at the time. And I just kind of got swept up in that. It was when I was starting to learn how to meditate and I was starting to get into astrology. And I remember, and I was very lucky because I was living in Bondi Beach at the time, which is, some people will know it, it's in Sydney. It's a really, really cool place, a beach just out of the city. And it's got a really cosmic vibe. And they had this thing called Bondi Beach Radio where, you know, they just had local people getting on there and doing radio shows. And I kind of put my hand up and said, hey, there's this thing called harmonic concordance coming up. Can I do a radio show then? And they said yes for no reason. Like, I was literally just another Bondi person on the beach, but they go, yeah, why not? And I always think that was a bit cosmic as well, because I ended up doing it live, I think, at the time of the actual alignment, and taking calls and meditating and so on. And there was something in it. And then there was the full moon eclipse of 1999, which was also said at the time to be about the reemergence of the divine feminine. And I was, again, just sort of, you know, 3 or 4 or 5 years into my astrology journey. And I paid a lot of attention to it, but it was all very theoretical at the time. It was like, oh, yeah, it's the reemergence of the divine feminine. What does that even mean? Mm. But now, 25 years later, which I can't believe it's 25 years ago that I was that young kid in the radio station. 25 years later, it's all starting to make sense. And so the feminine is on the rise. And, you know, I know that you can feel that. I know that you can. I just know that intuitively that you're feeling that and I'm feeling that. And I think women everywhere are just feeling that women are coming back and there's something happening and there's something changing and even the men are changing and we're all kind of like trying to find a rebalance. And it comes from, cave markings in France going back 26,000 years have been found, okay, 26,000 years, where they were marking the lunar cycle, which is basically the interplay of the sun and the moon. Mm. And obviously they did that back then because they needed to know, I suppose, when the moon was going to be full so they could actually see what they were doing at night. And also because it helped them make sense of the world, their world, which obviously 26,000 years ago was quite a different world to the world we've got now. And that is 26,000 years ago. I mean, like, get your head around that.
Yeah.
And also because they probably were starting to work out about the seasons and, you know, when all this sort of stuff was being worked out 26,000 years ago. Now, regarding astrology, you know, I mean, if you kind of look back, I was having a really interesting chat this weekend with a man called Chris Brennan, and we were looking at an aspect of the lunar cycle called the void of course moon. And he was kind of looking at, I mean, basically we were looking 2000 years ago and the moon was being considered then. And really, I mean, I'm sure if I really come from an astrological point of view, I'm sure if I were an anthropologist, I'd be able to tell you about Mayan moon rites and at Machu Picchu and
yes,
all that.
I get
but
you.
That's not my thing. Mm. I'm an astrologer. Mm. And so I can tell you that people have been working with the moon from an astrological point of view for at least 2,000, you know, longer, 2,000 plus years. And women in particular, I believe, were drawn to working with the moon, which makes complete sense because in astrology, the sun is the masculine. It's the yang, Y-N-G, Y-A-N-G, and the moon is yin, Y-I-N, which is soft and dark, okay? Mm. So when you have the sun and the moon, which is basically how we get the new moon and the full moon, because the sun and the moon, the new moon and the full moon come from the interplay of the sun and the moon and the light and the shadows and the angles and all that. And so, again, what's really quite interesting, just something like a little nugget to think about is that, you know, when I was talking about the 2,000 years of the void of course moon with Chris the other day, you know, we were talking about all these very famous male astrologers who are out there, you know, doing all their calculations, and most of the court astrologers were male, you know, the astrologers who were writing books 1,500 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 500 years ago, they were mostly men basically. Mm. But if you go back in time, you know, there's pretty good evidence to say that before the patriarchy was the matriarchy.
Yes.
And then we went into the patriarchy, and then about 500 years ago, sorry, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but it's just...
No,
it's
I'm with you. Absolutely.
Okay. About 500 years ago, you know, if you worked with the moon, which was what women did, that so the men were out, male astrologers were in the courts and, you know, running businesses because we were in the patriarchal times and, you know, getting clients to do horary charts and things like that, which is a chart cast for the moment, the questions asked and understood. Mm. Whereas the women were at home, you know, barefoot and pregnant and making tinctures and potions in line with the moon and with Venus, which is the planet of the goddess, and the moon is, you know, the kind of the goddess as well. So, or is the goddess as well. So, what happened 500 years ago, suddenly the tables were turned, maybe because, you know, the men, and I'm very sorry, I know you've got a male producer in the room. Hi, Shane. But, you know, the tables were turned on the women and suddenly working with the moon became an offence punishable by death.
Yeah.
And they started to basically burn us alive, tied to a stake in the village square, for our troubles, or drown us or hang us. And, you know, there are wildly varying estimations or estimates of how many women were burned alive at the stake or hanged or drowned for being a so-called witch. But, you know, the highest estimates reach into the millions. Okay, so again, let that sink in for a second. So what happened? Oh, well, obviously we all stopped doing it because, you know, like, you're not, you know, it just became an illegal activity and you're not, no one's going to do it and suddenly they're at home cooking dinner and the local police constabulary or whatever they were, the witch police burst into your house and, you know, grab the mother and take her kicking and screaming, you know, to be tried and killed. Mm. So obviously we stopped doing it and we stopped teaching our children how to do it. And, you know, it had been something that women had passed on to their children, in particular mother to daughter, and it just went dead because, or in fact what it did do is it went underground, but only the really bravest women would have done that. And so it kind of, you know, fizzled along underground for some time, for about 500 years. And then that's why it's so interesting with the whole thing about being told about the reemergence of the divine feminine 25 years ago and me just thinking, well, I don't know what this means, but it feels right to me on some level and I'm just going with it. And I started increasing my studies into goddesses and increasing my connection to goddesses and to the moon. And now, you know, like when we had the whole Me Too movement, which all sprang up, you know, that's a part of it. Yeah. And that's why I believe, I don't think the moon is just here for 5 minutes. I don't think this is a little fad. I think that this is women remembering that they can reconnect to their innate powers through the moon. And I'm convinced of that. I've got goosebumps as I say this. I've been doing it for 25 years. I still get goosebumps. I feel that, you know, women were cut off from this 500 years ago on, you know, threat of death. And that was completely, you know, immoral in every sense, quite apart from the idea of burning women at the stake. But, you know, it's just beyond comprehension.
Yes.
But it's all coming back. And it's always been there, like I said. And there have been people like Starhawk, for example, who you should get on your podcast, you know, who's so learned and who've kind of kept the light and passed the light on to the next generation when, you know, we were all kind of old enough to take it up. And, you know, and what I'm trying to do, and, you know, I'm doing it from an astrological point of view, is I'm trying to help women reconnect with this power which was taken away from us. And I believe the time is right because I believe that the divine feminine is re-emerging. So there you are. That's my theory.
Wonderful.
Wind me up and I'll talk forever.
Yeah, it's great. I absolutely love it. So let's talk about Moonology. As you know, I admire you and the work that you do. My diary for 2021 is yours. It's the Moonology one. So I'd love to talk about the phases of the moon. There are 8 main phases, but I know you speak of 9. And I'd love for you to go through them. Now, for some people who are maybe dipping their toe into moon energy, I suppose the big hitters are the new moon and the full moon. But there are other phases to maybe be aware of if they're not necessarily something that you're hearing a lot of. Maybe you're hearing about it for the first time, but it's good to be aware. So can you go through them with us, please?
I can. I've got my book here, actually, so I can give you all the keywords from the book as well. So, OK, let's first start talking about the fact of the 8 main phases versus the 9th phase. So the 8 main phases of the moon are something that were more or less first, delineated by a Danish, and he lived in France, Dane Rudyard. And he did a lot of amazing work. So we're all basically standing on his shoulders talking about the phases of the moon. And he talked about the 8 main astrological phases, which, as you say, the kind of the high points were the new moon and the full moon. Then you had the quarter moons, which is like the midway point between the new moon and the full moon. You get the first quarter, and then you get the third quarter between the full moon and the new moon. And then between those points, if you imagine a circle, first of all, cut into two, which is the new moon and the full moon at one end and the other. Then you put the quarter cross sort of thing, you get the quarter moons, and then you add two more lines, say, in your slashing up of this circle, and you get the waxing crescent moon, the gibbous moon, the disseminating moon, and the balsamic moon. And I'll just say them in order for people. So it goes new moon, crescent moon, first quarter moon, gibbous moon, full moon, disseminating moon, last quarter moon or third quarter moon, balsamic moon. So they're the 8 main phases, and basically they take you on a journey from, you know, time to plant the seed, time to go for it, some kind of crisis arises. Gibbous means bulging, so it's like when everything feels fit to burst. The full moon is like the explosion at the end of the waxing cycle. We move into the waning cycle, get the disseminating moon, which is about sharing knowledge, the last quarter moon, which is about clearing away any residual junk. Then you get the balsamic moon, which is all about healing and soothing. But then I say witchy traditions, and maybe I don't mean to be offensive. That might be offensive to some people. I don't mean it to be offensive whatsoever. But in kind of, you know, those sorts of circles, there's a lot of emphasis on the dark of the moon or the dark moon.
Yeah.
And so that is actually kind of like a phase within a phase, and it's the end of the balsamic phase, which is just before the new moon. And
I feel it. I feel it every month. I really sense it. Yeah.
Right. So basically what you do is at new moon, it's kind of all new and fresh, and you send out your wishes and you set our intentions and we work through the waxing cycle.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We work on everything, then we get the full moon, which is like the peak period, and then it's all about letting go in the waning cycle from full to new moon. And the dark of the moon is the end of the end of the end. Yeah. So it's like when everything just dries up, and you know, I always use the analogy of a dry leaf, and you can just crush it in your hands and it just turns to powder. And it's sort of like that. I mean, it's a really intense period.
Let's zone in now on new moon and full moon, because it's something that whenever, and I don't talk about it too often, but whenever I have shared it on Instagram myself, I get a lot of questions. Oh, what's this about? What are you doing at the full moon? And I'd love you to kind of talk through how to go about, you know, ritual ceremonies, whatever you want to call it. Can you talk through what you would recommend people do?
Okay, with pleasure. So the new moon is basically the time to plant the seeds for whatever it is you want to create in your life. So I always use the analogy of, you know, I think after lockdown, many more of us know about planting seeds because we all became gardeners, didn't we? Well, many of us did. I certainly, can't say I discovered a green thumb because my plants were a bit miss. But basically when you plant a seed, you know, you have the soil, you make the soil ready, which is what you're doing at the time of the balsamic moon and the dark moon by releasing all your, you know, all your crud. And you make the soil ready. And then what do? You poke your finger in the soil and you put your little seed in and then you cover it up. And so the seed is in there under the soil in the dark. And that's kind of what we're doing at the time of the new moon. With the new moon, you can't actually see the moon. And you plant your seeds. So what I do, I'm just tapping into what women have always done, you know, or we did until we weren't allowed to do it. Now we're allowed to do it again, which is setting intentions and making wishes and sending out our desires in the form of, you know, whether you want to do an incantation or you want to do a spell or you want to do a wish or you want to ask the angels or you want to ask the goddess or you do whatever appeals to you. But the idea is to come to the point where you get some clarity about what you want and you are, you know, clear enough to on this to actually, you know, write. I always say write things down because I find that really useful. I'm a writer, so it makes sense. But write them down because then you've got proof. I told you I'm an ex-journalist and an ex-TV producer. We like our proof. So you write things down and you set your intentions. And I do that. And I do Facebook Lives every new moon and every full moon for free on my Facebook page. And so, you know, we just write them down and you've got my diary, so you can write them in the diary, which is great because it means that you can refer back to them. And then you kind of need to follow up throughout the month and think, okay, these are my wishes. How am I going towards them? And, you know, next year, actually, what we're doing with the diary is we've changed it a little bit. We're kind of changing it so you have what we call one big, hairy, audacious goal. I think we took the word hairy out, actually. that's kind of a well-known corporate thing, one big, hairy, audacious goal, B-H-A-G. And then what are you going to do towards that, you know, because if you're wanting to, I don't know, get pregnant, then you might say, you know, to do this, I will have sex every second day with my partner. I will you know, take maca powder or whatever you believe is going to work for you. Mm. And I will, you know, walk 3 times a week so that I know my body's as healthy as it can be, or 4 times a week or whatever. Mm. So it's like, what, this is my big audacious goal, and here are the 3 steps I'm taking towards them. And basically you take what we call inspired action, and you just keep putting out to the universe. I always say to people, when you make new moon intentions, set your new moon intentions, turn them into an affirmation that you can believe in, because, you know, then you've got something to keep coming back to. Am I saying my affirmation every day? Am I believing it? Am I visualizing it? There's such a lot of power in creative visualization.
Big time.
And you know, you basically do that, and then after, and then 2 weeks later we get the full moon. And by that stage, you know, I always say choose baby steps, go for baby steps. If you can, you know, if you want a new job, you know, it may not manifest in the first 2 weeks, but it will, you know, maybe you'll get signs. Maybe you'll find out that your friend knows someone who works at the company that you want to work at, so you've got a lead. Or, you know, if you want to, you know, you just have to watch out for signs that it's coming, that it's developing. And then at the full moon, whatever hasn't manifested, you know, be grateful for any small signs you've got or anything that's actually manifested, and then offer it all up to the divine, to the goddess, and say, okay, you know, I've done my thing, I've let you know what I want, now I'm offering it all up to you. So that's what I'll be doing on my full moon ceremony. Basically, we do full moon forgiveness, because forgiveness helps us to unblock ourselves energetically, if there's anything blocking us energetically from manifesting, and surrendering it all to the goddess, and then hopefully using the next 2 weeks to just release. And, you know, that's basically the long and the short of the moonology practice. Mm. And, you know, it changes people's lives.
I like how you simplified it there for people as well, because I think what I've been getting is people asking, oh, I don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I have the right setup. You know, do I have this? Do I have that? Because they can be feeling like they're not there yet if they don't have the sage burning or the candles or whatever it is. And obviously, you know, all these things, whether you want to bring them in or not, whether they resonate for you or not, can help, I suppose, set up the mood and music and whatever it is. Certainly helps me personally. But as you said, sometimes it's as simple as a pen and a piece of paper and having the intention. So setting your intention for the new moon and then letting go, and being conscious of what you're releasing. And I suppose, for, as you said, forgiveness being the key ingredient in your full moon ritual. Because I think sometimes people get a little bit muddled up going, do I need to be setting my intention at the full moon as well? But I suppose simplifying it and just releasing at that point and concentrating and whatever that works for you. I know that you're big into chant, as I am. So it's finding what works for you as an individual.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, this is the thing. We all get hung up on this, and, you know, it's a bit like, oh, I can't cook this recipe if I don't have that ingredient. But it's really just, I mean, I use all those, say, props when I do my full moon ceremonies. Like when I do my full moon on Facebook this week, if the weather permits, I will go outside into my garden and I will do a fire ceremony, because that's what I learned in India. Mm. And it will help. And I will use incense to call in the angels, and I'll put ghee on the fire because that feeds the angels and all that. And I'll have a bell because that raises the vibrations and all that. But it's ritual isn't, as my teacher in India says, ritual is not something you do for the divine. You do it for yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, I develop rituals. Why? I don't even know why. I didn't even start with rituals. And I think I developed them from going to India. And, you know, it just grounds the whole thing. It just gives you kind of something to do while you do your kind of magic. And, but you don't need it. But it kind of makes it more powerful in a way. But, you know, like if you don't have the sage, like literally don't worry about it. Or you don't have a bell, don't worry about it, you know, just do it from the heart, because, you know, if you do it from the heart, it's more powerful than any sages or bells. Yes. Or fires or anything. The ritual is really a way almost to demarcate, right, now I am doing my new moon intentions, or now I'm doing my full moon release work. And it's a way of kind, it's like a traditional way to just you know, tune in. But, you know, as I said, by all means, join me on Facebook and we'll do it together. And, you know, do it at home. Like, I have women all over the world who are doing moon circles with their people, and they all do them together. And it's amazing because, you know, women all over the world are starting to do this. And that's, you know, that's obviously just magical.
And that sense of tribe connection that you get as well, knowing you're doing it together, it's really powerful. And you've already touched on it.
Yeah, and you know, my husband and son are in the kitchen and the living room, and they kind of poke their heads out. Sometimes I kind of, you know, insist my son comes and chants with me or something. But, you know, it's just, I mean, like, it can just become part of your life, and it's not a big thing. It's like, I'm just going to take a time to connect with the divine feminine and the divine, and, you know, it's just a beautiful thing to do.
So you've already touched on manifesting, because you've spoken about the power of affirmations and setting your intention and visualizing it and the power of repetition. But it's a term, again, a lot of people are hearing about perhaps for the first time. What is this manifesting thing about? What does that actually mean, and how can I actually do it?
Manifesting, it's very interesting, actually, because, you know, now we talk about I'm a manifester, I'm a powerful manifester, I'm a deliberate manifester. I'm pretty sure the word manifester is not even in the dictionary at this point. We've purloined this word. You can also call it conscious creation. Some people prefer that. I like conscious creation, but the word manifesting goes so nicely with the moon. I tend to refer to moon manifesting. It's basically about the fact that we are all here to create, and, you know, whether we're creating babies or we're creating art or we're creating cathedrals or whatever we're creating, basically man and woman is here to create. And, you know, I was lucky enough to get to know an American spiritual teacher called Sonia Choquette quite well at one point. I haven't seen her obviously for a while because of the pandemic, and she lives in Paris. But she and I swapped. I did a reading for her, she did a reading for me, and in it she said, Yasmin, the earth is a school of manifestation, and we manifest through our feelings, and that's why the moon is the perfect conduit for manifesting. So basically the idea is that we are all actually manifesting or creating 24/7. So if you and my dad was a psychiatrist, okay, he passed away unfortunately about 12 years ago, and he was the most wonderful man. He was also the most scientific guy. He'd studied medicine and majored in psychology and been a psychiatrist for I don't know how many years, 30-40 years. He was, you know, very practical, very practical guy. And so when I started talking about, oh, my God, meditation's changing my life and, oh, my God, all these theories, he literally thought I'd joined a cult for a start and wondered, you know, what was going to become of me, his daughter, because I was obviously losing the plot. Anyway, so eventually at one point we talked about manifesting, and I said, well, the thing is, you know, because I'd been testing it for a few years by then and I wanted to talk to him about it. And I said, you know, it's basically that what you think is what you get. You know, that's what happens with manifesting, and you can either do it consciously or you can do it unconsciously. And he said, okay, well, actually that makes sense, because from a psychiatric point of view, and he was what's called a cognitive behavioral psychologist. I think he did cognitive behavioral psychiatry. Sorry, I don't know why I keep calling it psychologist. I never do that. anyway, so CBT it's called. And he said, because in what I do, he said, the first thing I do when people come and see me, a new patient, is I do this sort of quiz thing, test paper thing that they have to fill out about their belief systems, because I need to understand their belief systems, because what you believe to be true is true for you. And I said, well, there you go. There's a kind of a meeting of the two things. And that's basically what manifesting is. It's what you believe to be true is true for you. So to use my dad's example, he said, for example, if you think, oh my God, I always make a fool of myself in front of whoever, then chances are you will always make a fool of yourself in front of that person, because it becomes what, you know, I would call a self-fulfilling prophecy. He would call it a belief system or whatever. Or he said, imagine the difference between someone who breaks up from their partner and thinks, oh my God, it's the end of my life. That's it. I'm too old. I'm never going to meet anyone else. It's all finished. You know, I might as well just curl up with my cardigan and my cat, versus someone who breaks up with someone and goes, oh, you know, this is the start of the rest of my life. I don't know what's coming next, but I feel so excited about it. He said, of course, they're going to have very different experiences. Yeah. And in a way, that completely crosses over with what I'm talking about in manifesting, which is, can you believe that you can make your dreams come true? Do you believe you're worthy of your dreams? Do you have enough self-belief? Self-doubt is the biggest blocker to manifesting. So if you want to manifest a spiritual teacher, you know, you need to put it out there. And if you think I'm not worthy, I'm such a bad person, nobody knows how bad I really am, and if they knew, they'd be horrified, then chances are you're not going to manifest that spiritual teacher as quickly as you'd like to. But if you think, you know what, I'm doing my best, I'm on the right path, I pick myself up when I fall down, and I really, really want to learn more, and I think I'm going to make really good use of the information, you're much more likely to then be able to manifest someone who's going to come to you and vibe with your energy and go, you know what? Yeah, I would like to help you on your spiritual path. And, you know, but the thing, I've used the case of spiritual teacher because it's kind of the one that's really acceptable to people. But in fact, you can manifest anything. You can manifest a new house or a new car or a new job or, you know, whatever you want. The earth is a school of manifestation, which, as I said, Sonia Choquette taught me, but I now see it completely. Mm. It is. We are here to create. And it doesn't matter what you're manifesting, as long as it's not doing anyone any harm, you can manifest whatever you like. And the thing is, a lot of people, for a start, their back will go up when they hear that and they think, well, what, manifesting a car? What's this? What's, you know, that's not very spiritual. And that's fine. If you don't want to be someone who manifests yourself a convertible Mercedes, you don't have to. You can manifest yourself whatever you want, a garden that grows beautiful plants or, you know, the aforementioned spiritual teacher. But the point is that we are here to manifest. And, you know, the idea is that you might as well manifest consciously, because you're manifesting anyway. So at least if you start to do moonology practices, you can start to manifest a little bit more mindfully. And for any Australians of a certain age who are listening, you know, I once did an interview. I used to be a semi-regular on a show called Kerri-Ann Kennelly in Australia. She did a show, I think it was called Mornings with Kerri-Ann, and she was kind of a household name. Mm. Well, she was a household name, and she probably still is. And I remember the first time I went on her show and talking about all this, and she said to me, oh, well, that's very interesting, Yasmin, because she didn't really believe in astrology. She was just having me on because she knew the readers, the viewers would enjoy it, I think. But she said, that's actually very interesting, Yasmin, because the thing is, even if you don't believe in astrology, you know, to sit down once a month and make a list of your intentions and your plans and your goals for and your ambitions for the coming month is a really, really powerful process. I'm like, yeah, exactly. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in astrology. At least sit down and do your goals, because as soon as you do that, then you're going to start to modify your behavior, because you're now more conscious of what it is you want to achieve. So if you say my goal is to lose, you know, 3 stone, then, you know, you're going to have, you start to become mindful of the fact that, okay, well, you know, if I want to lose 3 stone, I probably shouldn't eat this box of chocolates in front of me or whatever. Mm. You know, it all just, so it kind of taps into the magic that we have if you want it to, but it can still work even if you just don't believe in anything and you just understand the power of making a list, a to-do list. You know, it can be that basic. And, you know, with that, we can change the world.
And it is really interesting when you say that it's happening anyway. So basically, yeah, you can get on board with it and become aware and be conscious, yeah, within it. Yeah. Or allow your unconscious or your subconscious mind to do the work anyway, because it is happening.
And, you know, the reason why we do the affirmations, which are only a really small part of it, but they are one part of it, is because if you say the affirmations and you can imagine it or believe it, we do the affirmations, then we kind of imagine with them. And it's about imagining that reality. So just say you want to be pregnant, you would want to spend time, you know, imagining yourself, you know, with a really big belly with a baby inside, or imagining yourself with your partner. I don't know why I keep coming back to the pregnancy analogy. Maybe there are going to be people listening who want that. But, you know, like imagining yourself with your partner with his or her arm around you and the baby in your arms having been safely delivered, or imagining yourself, you know, down at the beach, you know, with your kid and going for a swim in the shallows or whatever. And you start to do things like that, because if you can start to believe those imaginings, you'll start to create them. And so one thing I really, you know, try and emphasize to people is this is not like click your fingers, abracadabra, and your whole life has changed. It's, I think it's a process of bending reality and bending your reality. And so that's why, you know, if you're a parent and you're listening to this, I implore you, teach your kids to be as confident in themselves as they can. Give them as much love as you can. And it's not about saying, oh, you're amazing, you're amazing, you're amazing, when they're trashing the living room. Mm. But it's about recognizing, you know, seeing them, what Abraham Hicks yes. was some of the pioneers about for manifesting. Mm. And what they always say is, see your children as perfect because they see themselves through your eyes. And it's so important, like, because if you grow up being told, I mean, to me, it's almost impossible to believe this, because I grew up with a very switched on mum and dad. You know, my dad was a psychiatrist and my mum studied psychology. So they at least understood the basics of, you know, not being horrible to a kid as she me and my sister grew up.
Yeah.
My sister and I grew up. But, you know, it's about making them feel confident. And there are parents out there who say things like, you're rubbish, you'll never get anywhere, you'll never amount to anything, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that is basically what you have to then work through. And I think one of the reasons why I've ended up being the person talking, and I'm talking for longer than I even said I would, but anyway, I hope I haven't talked too long. But I ended up being one of the people out there talking about this is because I didn't have that layer of SHIT to work through, really. Mm. I mean, of course I had things, you know, I was kind of bullied a bit when I was a kid at one point by someone at school, and there have been things that I've had to work through. I had a very, very toxic relationship when I was in my 20s, which nearly broke me in half, and I had to work through that. But basically we just need to work through all our self-doubt, and that's when we come out to the other side. And so that's part of the process with Moonology as well. It's not just about make your wishes and bang, they come true. It's also about letting go. And I'll just say, because this is going out on Friday, I'm actually doing a free Moonology manifesting challenge from March the 7th to the 14th. Where I'm going to help people. We're going to pick up at the third quarter moon, and we're going to work through the end of the waning cycle through the dark moon, which you'll like, and then make new moon wishes together. So anybody who wants to join in, can I give the URL for that?
Please,
for
anyone
who wants to be
absolutely.
A part of it? We've already had, like, we've got literally thousands and thousands and thousands of people already, but it's free. It's moonmessages.com/MMC for Moonology Manifesting Challenge. So it's moonmessages.com/MMC, and you can sign up. It's free. And so it's going to be great. And, you know, it's basically taking into the account that it's, you know, people reduce it to, oh, make your new moon wishes. But it's more than that. You have to change your belief about yourself and your worthiness to, you know, achieve whatever it is that you, the goals that you set for yourself.
Now, something else we were going to get into, but I know time is precious and we've already chatted for so long, was Mercury retrograde. So we might just park it, and it's something I probably will revisit.
Yes, in the
we'll
podcast. Do it another time when Mercury's
retrograde.
Time.
Yeah, thank God. We got through the first one of this year. Last thing, though. What should we watch out for in terms of moon activity this year? Any kind of biggies that we should prepare ourselves for?
Really, the big, big story for 2021 is a series of rolling Saturn-Uranus squares, which are basically about breaking through the old paradigm to the new world, you know, which hopefully we're going to create. And we're probably not going to be let out of confinement until we start to actually, you know, get it. So it's really a year of awakening, but it may not be easy. Next year is much easier.
Okay, hallelujah.
Yay.
We need a bit of that. Yasmin, I've loved this conversation. Thank you for being so giving with your time and your wisdom. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much.
And for more on Yasmin, simply go to her website, yasminboland.com. This episode of Ready to Be Real Conversations was brought to you in partnership with hcc.ie and supported by Irish Life Health. hcc.ie's experts can help you find a health insurance plan that suits your needs and your budget.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you're concerned about mental health or looking to get into self-improvement, join me at the Piece by Piece podcast. There, I'm interviewing everyday people and experts alike about how to overcome difficulties around mental health. Speaking of which, I just released an interview with a mental health historian and another with two friends who are healthcare workers.
If these conversations interest you, check us out at Piece by Piece. That's Piece with an A, B-I, and then Piece with an I. Thank you so much.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.